Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus, and tonight I'm proud to bring you the Diana Monfort Show, hosted by the one, the only Diana Monfort. Greetings, Diana. How are you tonight?
How are you? It's great to be on. And, well, let me tell you fast about who I am or what I am or something
sure.
like that. Anyway, I'm the world's first transgender television journalist. There's a parallel television show called The Diana Monfort Show on Manhattan Neighborhood Network. You can access it by going to MNN.org. And, you know, I was born male, became female. And that's all she wrote, folks. And I've been trans, God help me, for 50 years now.
Wow.
Damn, I'm old. And anyway, my colleagues, and they are not guests. We are part of a triumvirate. My colleagues are well-known trans activist and feminist, Ms. Catherine Platine. Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
And attorney, New York State politician, the first trans woman to be a district leader in New York State, Ms. Joanne Prince-Vivali. Hi.
Hello.
And we have wonderful news tonight, many on many fronts. But first, you should know that the great Catherine Platine has her own new show on the Hercules Network. And Hercules, why don't you tell us about it?
It's going to be called The Matreum of Kibel. And the host is going to be Catherine. And I put down her title of the Cantankerous Crone because that's what she had on her Facebook page. And we could always alter it later on. But it's been officially announced on my Facebook site. So it will be coming the first quarter of this year.
Do you know when exactly?
Exactly, no. I'm juggling way too many productions right now, so I don't want to jam anything up. But within a week, I'll know.
Okay, and Hercules, as you all know, is the most prolific producer I've ever heard of, never mind met. He does shows on every subject, including, of course, obviously, the LGBTQ community, great psychic shows, great shows about Greek gods, Roman gods, Atlantean gods, all sorts of gods, Egyptian gods, has a huge roster of fascinating people on his, Rolodex, for want of a better term. I'm so archaic. And he is an amazing person. And you can go on YouTube and see his very recent appearance on my television show where we discuss time travel. And Hercules, I hope, will be a continuing guest on my show. You will see him at regular intervals. And he is great. And Cassie, also a continuing guest. You will see her on regular intervals, at regular intervals. And Joanne, when she has time, Joanne, who has been on my show almost since the beginning, will be a recurring guest when she has time. She has a very full schedule as an attorney, and she gives guitar concerts all over her area, and she is a great guitarist and has pretty much, you know, she has a bunch of fabulous guitars, and, you know, she is a great person. So anyway, so Cassie, what do you think of your new show?
Well, I think it's wonderful. I've got I run a radio station too up here in near Woodstock in upstate New York.
Who are the call letters?
WLPPLP 102.9 FM.
It's and what do you talk about or play or whatever? What do you do?
I play all kinds of progressive. We're members of the Pacifica Radio Network, and we have all kinds of progressive talk shows, and I have an extremely eclectic musical taste, so it's reflected in the programming on our radio station, everything from Latino to classic rock and roll to folk music to classical music. You pretty much name it. I've got it on the station.
sounds great. And as we all know, the Pacifica Network, the great New York radio station WBAI is also under the Pacifica Network. So that
is
great. That is, you're our kind of gal, and that is great. And Joanne, tell us about your odyssey today to pick up a guitar.
Oh, well, there was a very rare guitar, only 47 were ever made, and the company went out of business in November. And it was up in Maine. The original owner had passed away, and his widow was selling it, but she wasn't willing to ship it. So it was only for local pickup. And so I figured, well, it's only a 5.5-hour drive. I could do this. And I did. And I brought it home. I did run into a snow squall on the way home, so it took 6.5 hours to get home. But still, it's a
You made the show.
Adventure.
Good girl.
Yep. It's a Rain Song JZ-1000, which is their acoustic electric jazz guitar.
You basically have your own guitar museum, don't you?
Yeah, pretty much. It's I have several historical arch tops and a collection of carbon fiber guitars as well. So yeah,
that's great. But don't tell people where you live,
you.
Or you might have a burglar as well. You know.
Well, yeah, we don't want that to happen. Of course not.
No. So, Joanne has some fabulous news for us. Let's hear it.
Oh, yes. Well, let's start with, it's not law yet, but in the state of Massachusetts, they've decided to clean up all these laws that really are no longer enforceable because of court decisions, and they're worried about those court decisions getting reversed and accidentally putting those laws back into place. So just, I believe it was Thursday, Massachusetts State Senate unanimously, including the Republicans, passed a bill to repeal their ban on gay sex and their Walking While Trans law, in addition to their law against blasphemy. So it will be, once it's passed by their
Jesus
lower
Christ,
house.
Jesus Christ, I'm so glad about that.
It,
okay.
It'll be perfectly okay, because you never know what the U.S. Supreme Court might do. You know, under Obergefell, you had the whole thing where, you know, you can't prosecute sodomy laws. But if the Supreme Court were to reverse that and they don't repeal this Massachusetts law, that law would all of a sudden become enforceable again. And Massachusetts doesn't want to be one of those states that says, oh, we have this really old law that is now okay, and now we're going to enforce it. So,
And sodomy laws can also interfere. If a wife performs fellatio on her husband, that is sodomy. I mean, anyone can be arrested on sodomy laws.
Now, the state, in their state, they referred to, quote, the abominable and detestable crime against nature, close quote. That's how they define gay sex.
I think
and
that would be us, yeah.
And unnatural and lascivious acts with another person.
My favorite
now
thing,
They're repealing the crime against nature part, but the part about unnatural and lascivious acts, they're leaving it in only if it refers to acts performed in public. So if you're going to do something in let's see, what's the name of
well, don't get drunk at the church social and blow the pastor. Yeah, I get the picture. Yeah,
or you don't go to Harvard Yard and do the and do something unnatural, so to speak, not in public anyway. So they're leaving that part in. They also, and I think the reason why the Republicans voted for it was because it the repeal about blasphemy, because you know, if one religious right person says something, another one might think it's blasphemous, and they might want to prosecute each other. So better not to have it at all. Now,
these laws. Being that it's Massachusetts, they might date back to the late 1700s.
Yeah, just from the language that I read, that's pretty much the case. These are very old laws, and they want to clean up the books so that in the event the U.S. Supreme Court goes absolutely nuts on these things, at least there won't be a there won't be a situation where the old Massachusetts laws will all of a sudden be enforceable again.
Well, let me ask you this. If the Supreme Court declares sodomy illegal throughout all 50 states, will state law trump, pardon the expression, trump the national law?
Well, the Supreme Court wouldn't make it illegal in all the states, but it could reverse their decision on Obergefell and the other cases. Exactly. And what would happen is that that it would restore whatever state laws still have that sodomy law on the books. And so by repealing their underlying law, Massachusetts making sure that at least in Massachusetts, if the law gets overturned, you'll have a situation where at least in Massachusetts, you'll still be okay. You're not going to get prosecuted for engaging in unnatural sex. Goodness. I would argue the word natural.
Sex and it's not harmful, it's natural. Yeah.
Sure.
Now, won't both states become sanctuary states for trans folk?
Well, yeah. Now, here's the other. That's the other news. The state of Maine is working very hard on trying to make Maine a haven for the trans people who are escaping from these other states. Now, New York has already done this. I know California has done it. A few other states have done it. But Maine, which is a purple state, so they need Republicans as well as Democrats to get these things done. So, again, another New England state is showing us that not all Republicans are evil. So that's not so bad. But the thing is that – yes.
No, I'm sorry. You were saying?
Yeah, what I was saying is that there's 14 other states that have already created these refuge things. Now, of course, if the Supreme Court were to weigh in on that, they'd have to come up with something like a really horrible, decision, like what they did with the Fugitive Slave Act, where some
states. Yes, but wouldn't that be challenged immediately by the American Civil Liberties Union and other folk?
Right, but
no,
if the Supreme Court makes a decision, the problem would be if the Supreme Court makes the decision, then there's no further court to appeal to.
Yes, but that these nine unelected persons would presume to decide what is right and wrong and how people may live their lives is outrageous, and it is inimical to democracy. So really, they have no right if you get right down to it.
Oh, they do. Well, here's what happens, is that if the Supreme Court does something that the Congress finds objectionable, then the Congress can pass a law in many cases. As long as they're not violating the Constitution, the Congress can pass a law. This is what they did way back when. Justice Scalia, the late Justice Scalia, wrote a relatively reasonable decision involving the use of magic mushrooms by Native American tribes, where he indicated that you had to have a second nexus in order to overturn the laws against the drug use.
And two things. And first of all, religious freedom. And second, aren't Native American nations literally nations within our nation and entitled to govern themselves?
They're still subject to the judicial system of national import. So the thing is that in this particular case, the Supreme Court held that they could be banned, and then the Congress in the mid 1990s passed the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, and pretty much overruled the Supreme Court. Now, of course, the RFRA has a lot of problems of its own, but essentially the religious practices, the RFRA also, for instance, if you have a religion where sex is a sacrament, it would be one where one could pretty much run a religious brothel as part of a,
as they did in ancient Rome, yes.
Exactly. It would be
and
perfectly legal.
And isn't Kathy's religion of the goddess mother, couldn't she say, well, it's part of our religion to cross-dress? And wouldn't that protect members of Kathy's religion?
Conceivably. Under the RFRA, maybe. Of course.
Yeah,
so
and I used that in order to fight. I happen to use that law in our fight against the town of Catskill for our religious rights for, you know, recognition as a legitimate religion.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, basically, that was a law that was supposed to help the right-wing religious groups and can also be jujitsued around. The Church of Satan has been using religious freedom in order to cram things down the right's throat. Basically, every time they try to put up a Ten Commandments statue, for example, they want to put up a Baphomet statue as well. And when they try to reintroduce religious training into public school systems, they say, great, and we're going to teach them about Satanism.
The nuns will do that. Don't worry about it.
Although that's the Satanic Temple, I believe. And
yes,
and what they're doing with their after-school Satan clubs is absolutely amazing. What they're doing is they have a club. It's called the After-School Satan Club, but it really teaches the kids about science.
Science,
yes.
You said.
Science. Yes, exactly.
Yes, but I would, if I had a child and he, she, or they wanted to join something called the After School Satan Club, I would send this kid to boarding school. I would have a fit. I would say, no way, kid.
No
way.
No. I fully support the Satanic Temple in their quest to show exactly what religious freedom should be like.
Yeah, so do
I agree in principle, but the name is horrifying, you know.
But that's the whole. It's the whole point.
I know.
It's not the flying spaghetti monster. It's actually Satan. But they're looking. Listen, if you look at the story right from the Bible, about the snake and Adam and Eve, the snake is the good guy. He's the one that.
Well, he gives them the tree of knowledge. Yeah.
The ability to discern good from evil. That's the ability to reason. And, before that, humans were just like innocent animals.
Yeah.
And
after that,
they also
became truly human. Thank you, Satan.
The tree of life, basically, that eternal life through, you know, rebirth and reincarnation was already the birthright of human beings. Yahweh didn't bestow it on anybody. Then the snake told them that. So... Yeah, the serpent was the good guy in that story.
Absolutely, yes.
Well, Queen Victoria, who supposedly was a reptilian, as are all members of the British royal family, Princess Diana told a close friend of hers, you know, they're not even human. They're reptiles. Well, I guess. She always wore and made it the fashion to wear a ring in the shape of a snake. And Mae West can be seen wearing a ring like that in She Done Him Wrong, which takes place in the 1890s. It was a huge fashion in those days. And as both of us remember, all three of us remember, during the Cleopatra frenzy of the early 60s, snake bracelets were very much the fashion.
Yes, they were.
Yes, they were, as a matter of fact.
My mother bought one, but she could never bring herself to wear it. She was too Catholic. It freaked her out, you know, but whatever. We sell them all over the place at every price point, you know. But anyhow, there is a backlash against the backlash.
Yeah.
There is a backlash against the backlash, but unfortunately we're about to add another state where if you're trans, you absolutely should never set foot in that state to the roster of Florida, and that would be Utah. Utah is standing ready to outlaw all things trans. And to make it a crime to be trans, actually. And that
Which
would be
awful,
not just the kids. That's for adults as well as children.
Yeah.
I knew that one was coming. I knew it. And that is why, thank the good Lord, all three of us live in the sanctuary state of New York. And now, Kathy, aren't you running sort of a, or aren't you part of a kind of refugee program?
I'm a member of a group on Facebook that's basically to help relocate people, trans and GLBT, fleeing from red state oppression, yes. I haven't seen it do a lot of what I had hoped it would do yet, but I hope by being a member of it, I can help point them in the right direction.
Well, and don't you live in a house that used to be a hotel and contains 28 bedrooms?
Well, it has 28 rooms that used to be bedrooms, but a lot of those rooms aren't available as bedrooms anymore. Practically speaking, I have about 11 bedrooms available.
And, well, people are naturally enough stalling, hoping that all this just goes away, because if you're a blue-collar worker, a factory worker or something in Texas, or, you know, you pick lettuce or something, and or in Florida, you pick oranges, you have no money, your kid is trans, they are getting trans care from some place like Alan Lord here in New York where it's free if you need it to be free, but you can't hope to afford to relocate. How? With what? You know?
It's very difficult, and that's part of the problem. A lot of these people, what they're doing is they're asking for enough funds to just keep going where they are, which is probably the wrong thing to do. They need to bite the bullet and move, but people do not like to do that. It has to get really, really bad before you have refugees.
Sounds very much like Nazi Germany.
It's getting really, really bad.
Some people are escaping.
Yes, some are. I have run into a few that have escaped from the South.
Now, on the other hand, I know I have a friend who's a who's one of us and is a lawyer, who and also a former broadcaster, who moved down to Florida, has been posting a weekly Instagram about you know, who's committing sex crimes and how many Republicans or religious parties are doing it, and not one drag queen. And every week, it's still not one drag queen. She went to Tallahassee earlier in the week and was meeting with far-right Republicans to try to convince them to change their ways. And she said, last I checked with her, she said that the dialogue was coming along. She's reaching them, but she doesn't know if she's going to be successful, but at least she's open to dialogue. This is
they might agree, but they are accountable to the voters, and the voters might be very closed-minded. And these people are more dedicated to getting votes than they are to social justice. So that causes a huge problem.
But still, the fact that she's down there, you know, I have to give her a lot of credit for actually going down into the lion's mouth to see if she can get to try to accomplish something. Give her kudos for that. And also the weekly Instagram post. Her name is Chrissy Browder, by the way.
Can you say that again?
Chrissy Browder.
Browder?
B-R-O-W-D-E, Browder.
Okay.
And, she's a lawyer. And, like I said, a former pre-transition, she was on New York City news station as a news reporter.
Wonderful.
And,
absolutely wonderful.
And she moved down to Florida, and she's in order to do this. Basically,
God bless
her. The spit in their eye, so to speak.
In Catholicism, we would call her a victim soul almost, you know, doing that. That's amazing. That's great.
Speaking truth to power. That is the thing to be doing, is speaking truth to power, and that's what she's doing.
God bless her. And God protect her.
Yes.
Well, I would like to see some of these things being challenged under the 14th Amendment and equal protection under the law. I'm not a lawyer. I just play one on the internet. but it seems to me that an awful lot of these laws basically could be fought on some basis that we're not looking at yet.
Well, and the right to privacy, all sorts of things, you know, which I believe is what's the linchpin of Lawrence versus Texas, that they were two grown men consensually having sex in one of their homes, and by what right did the police invade their home and arrest them, you know?
Well, this is the problem. This is the problem. You see, when they, way back when, the Supreme Court over time developed the recognition of the privacy rights. You know, starting with the birth control cases, and then with Roe v. Wade, and then with Lawrence and the other cases. And you had Lawrence L. Obergefell and those other cases. And so you have the situation where privacy rights are seen to be constitutional. Well, when they overturned Roe v. Wade, they attacked that as a principle that they would conceivably continue to use. They may be reversing other things. That's what we're, now they're not signaling that they're going to do it, but they could. Go back and take back Obergefell and take back the Lawrence case. And the for all I know, they could go all the way back and say, well, we don't approve of Loving versus Virginia either. And by the way, birth control should no longer be available because you still have state laws that prohibit it that were overturned by those court decisions. And yet, that's why Massachusetts is cleaning up their laws. They don't want to have things revert to the status quo prior, status quo ante, actually, that's how they say it. Back when they had those laws and were enforcing them, they wouldn't want that to happen. That's why they're trying to clean these laws up now. Other states
birth control has always existed, always. And there were ways around that, many ways, and women passed tips to one another of how to control birth. So that is a silly law. And regarding Virginia versus Loving or Loving versus Virginia, it would be very strange if Clarence Thomas, who is a person of color married to an African-American, married to a Caucasian woman, had the absolute gall. And I think that was a warning when they made sure that that was included in a bill protecting, I believe, gay marriage, that, you know.
Yes.
And the fact that he is so outrageously corrupt, I suppose most of them are, except gifts galore and all sorts of things, is a warning to them, watch it, don't do this, because we will destroy you, you know, and they could wind up in jail. I mean, now they have they've passed an ethics rule, but it's not legally binding. It's just the honor system, and we know
right.
how honorable people like Clarence Thomas are.
Yeah, he has no honor whatsoever.
Course.
He's about to make decisions on the Trump case when his wife was basically part of the insurrection.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
and they're trying. They're trying so hard to make it so that, don't believe what you saw on television. Believe what we tell you now. It was a peaceful demonstration. These people are
being persecuted. Well, what Rudy Giuliani said on a Sunday news program, truth is not truth. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
That is insane. Now, what are we going to do if
I'm
Trump
radical
wins
enough
again?
I think that Article 3 of the 14th Amendment, which says that if you took place in an insurrection, you cannot hold a public office, should be used against those members of Congress that took part in the insurrection.
And against
yes,
Trump, because he incited it. And he incited a riot.
And we can swing the house immediately if we enforce that. The question is, how do you get the Department of Justice to enforce that?
Well, last week, Trump had the absolute gall to say for publication, he said it on some television show or something, or at a rally of his, one of those Bund meetings he gives, he said, if the Supreme Court approves Colorado's ban on my running, there will be unrest. Now, this man is a gangster. He's threatening us.
That's a
threat. He's threatening violence. He's setting the stage for it. Instead of pouring oil on the water like he should be doing if he was a decent human being, he's basically announcing that his people are going to come out of the woods and cause trouble. And that's part of what we're looking at right now. So basically the only way, actually there's no way we're going to avoid something like that, because it doesn't matter. If he is the nominee and he runs and he loses, he's still going to declare himself the winner.
And say the election was stolen, of course.
Exactly. He's already basically laying the groundwork for that as well. So, the country's in a pickle on that one.
Yep.
So I think that given the backlash against us and other civil liberties, even if he wins, I think grassroots folk will not put up with this. If you live in a trailer and you have 3 or 4 kids and you have no money, this clown forbidding birth control is not going to make much of an impression on you, you know?
Well, we've already done away with HIPAA, for example. There's no medical privacy anymore. They've been the Fugitive Trans Act is being used, enacted in Texas, and the Texas AG has gone after the trans kids fleeing the state of Texas and pursuing them as far as Seattle.
12 years a slave. This is crazy. This cannot be done. Really inimical to U.S. law and the ethos of the United States. This is slavery once more.
It's setting up all kinds of interesting challenges, state versus state, that I'm not sure can be resolved even in the Supreme Court. But for all practical purposes, when they repealed Roe, they basically also got rid of, medical privacy, because a lot of the anti-abortion laws that were enacted basically had all kinds of provisions going after women that were trying to seek treatment. We're already seeing that attempted to be enacted.
Yeah.
And women
have been warned not to use period apps on their phones. The states that are into this can actually use that as evidence against you. If you miss the month, well, guess what? You're getting prosecuted for murder.
And we've had a woman already prosecuted a woman that was accused of murder who had a miscarriage.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the whole point.
And, they probably know all of us who are on the doctor rolls for being trans, and should we have a civil war, they will declare warrants for our arrest and no doubt execution, and that is something to bear in mind.
90 years ago, that's what they did in Germany, where they used Magnus Hirschfeld's records to round up all the gay and trans people that they could.
Yep, and burned his library, and it was like the library at Alexandria for gay people. It was irreplaceable.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, and all that was lost. He fled to Paris, but he didn't flee soon enough to save much of anything.
Right.
And of course, that didn't really work either, because they went after him in Paris. But, we need to be conscious. We need to learn from history here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the you know, basically, when I transitioned in Ohio, I was refused treatment by 37 different doctor's offices.
Oh, my God.
And I was so glad when that finally turned around. But I fought the fight on that one. And in fact, I had to trick the doctor that I wound up seeing finally into seeing me. And he was furious, but his wife was also an MD, and she started seeing me. I ironically was working with her in some of the nursing homes I was working in. So got to know her fairly well after that. And things loosened up with trans medical stuff, and now they're going all back to as bad as it was back then. And we're seeing, in some of these states, they're basically taking away the right to change your birth certificate, to change your name, to change your gender identity on any of your ID. It's all going right back to where it was when I started.
Well, it is and it's not, because you cannot put the genie back in the bottle. So it's really not. They're trying.
Yes, you can.
Yes, they can pass laws and all that. But now that people have had a taste of freedom, it's like the McCarthy hearings. It was very dark in those days, but then there was an incredible backlash against it. And freedom reigned supreme in the 60s and 70s. So I think these people are actually causing themselves harm, because what they are doing is seeding the future of total rebellion and people being outright scofflaws and ignoring the Supreme Court. And what are they going to do, really? Are they going to send National Guardsmen into doctors' offices and people's homes and all that to arrest trans folk and women using birth control and women having abortions? I mean, this is unrealistic. It's unenforceable. There will always be women who will know how to abort. There will always be women who will know how to use birth control. There will always be women who, and there will always be trans women and trans men. There always have been. There always will be. It's like a law against prostitution. You cannot enforce that, because it has existed since the dawn of time and will exist until the end of time. What do you think?
Okay. But the problem is that we have had a history in this country of we pass progressive laws, and what happens is that over the period of several decades, the Supreme Court basically takes all the teeth out of those laws. And that started with the Reconstruction after the Civil War.
I know, so, and that was terrible. And the fact that they have done away with the Voting Rights Bill and affirmative action is shocking.
So you can put the genie back in the bottle. But that raises the question, is that when citizens are not given full participation of citizenship, what do they owe the country at that point? What is that? There's no social contract between the government and individuals like ourselves, for example, if we no longer have freedom of travel, arguably, which we do not. There are places in this country that it is not safe to go.
I know.
If you are trans. And there are a lot of them that are not safe to go if you are a woman of childbearing age. And arguably that makes us not full citizens.
Which violates equal protection under the law.
And the right of interstate commerce as well.
What I'm saying is that, this whole civil war thing and civil disobedience cuts both ways. We may be needing to look at this as well in the future.
Yeah. Well, I would imagine that now Texas is gung-ho to secede from the Union, and they may well do it because they had their National Guard stand up to the U.S. military and refuse to allow the military to allow the migrants in, and point-blank refuse. and hold up their guns and say, yeah, no. So, I mean, it's not inconceivable that we will become a nation much like the European Union. You know, such a, they have Hungary and Poland, which are very right-wing, and they have Germany and France, which are quite left-wing in many ways. And, you know, we, you know, California might secede, and New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, and Delaware might secede, and so on and so forth. And we would all be under the same umbrella, but ultimately we would be self-governing.
And this is an interesting historic trend, because the conservatives, who were supposedly, you know, all gung-ho, you know, remember the Civil War was fought over states' rights and not slavery.
Right, exactly.
Ask Nikki Haley. Just ask Nikki Haley. She'll tell you. Actually, she won't anymore because
yes.
She got burned on that. But the fact of the matter is, all these laws that they're trying to pass, like national abortion bans and whatnot, is exactly the opposite of, you know, and now we're fine with the left is the ones that are saying, look, wait a minute, this, you know, us liberal states have got some states' rights here, you know.
Exactly.
Well,
so,
and parental rights. If I have a child and my child is trans and I approve of that, then how dare they impose their laws on my child's body and say that I, as a parent, am not allowed to get medical care for my child for their condition, which can lead to suicide if untreated.
Yeah, I was involved in the very first trans child international case, and that was a real tricky one, as it turned out. That was the Aurora Lipscomb case. And then I was right smack dab in the middle of that one. And turns out that the mother was kind of a lunatic.
How so?
Well, you know, she was pushing, you know, really, really hard to transition a child that, you know, probably was more of a gay male. And if I'm a
that is a shame.
And I have not, this is the first time I have discussed this, because I happen to know the child, and the child came to me and told me that. And and that was after, you know, I basically fought on their, you know, on behalf of the mother for the better part of 15 years against the state of Ohio. And that was that story got national and international coverage back in the day, and back basically kicked off a lot of the trans child rights things that were around today. And ironically enough, you know, it was kind of a wrong case. But like I said, you've heard it here first, folks. You got to be careful about some of this stuff.
Yeah, that's true. That's and we, but ultimately, you know, we've always existed, we always will exist, and they cannot legislate against us. And I'm old enough to remember when being trans was illegal, and I went to a great doctor in 1975, Dr. Harry Benjamin, one of the originators of the process, and you had to carry a note in your purse in case you were stopped by the police. Excuse me, stating that you were being treated for gender dysphoria and you had the approval of the doctor, obviously a white male, to cross-dress and all that. Fortunately, I was never stopped. But we all know people, now all three of us are blessed with the politically incorrect principle of passability. We look like women, born women. But some of our number are not, and they never will be. And there's no operation to make them look like women, born women. And they are going to have a terrible time if this happens to them, you know?
Basically, there's a lot of women, born women, that don't pass as women.
I saw an Orthodox Jewish woman in the street, and I said to a gay friend of mine, that's a tranny. And we sidled up to her, looked into her face. No, it was a woman. No, dear.
Yeah, if PCOS, I believe, is that right? Polycystic. God, it's late in the night for me. But anyway, that is a condition basically where the ovaries make some testosterone, and it's probably more common than you think. And so there are a lot of women, ex-women out there that, you know, would have a hard time sometimes passing as women. And they are, you know, running afoul of the anti-trans stuff too. They're
well, supposedly Joan Crawford had that, and in the film Johnny Guitar, they actually have to insert a line: she acts like a man, she looks like a man, because, you know, I mean, she was, and the Duchess of Windsor also, Wallis Simpson, they were really technically male, but they had grown up female and had ostensibly female genitalia, but internal testes, and that gave them their sort of androgynous looks, you know?
Jamie Lee
Curtis was born intersexed, and they decided she would be a girl. So there you go.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So,
yeah, and
this is
sensitivity syndrome. And that's what Jamie Lee Curtis said. She got outed by a trans psychiatrist in New Jersey. I remember when that happened, she was furious. Her
mm-hmm.
privacy
well,
was totally invaded on that one.
Well, sure, you know, and I know a trans man, and Hercules knows him as well, no names mentioned, and he's stealth, and he's a known psychic come channeler, and his wife is adamantly opposed to his ever being out, because she, who is heterosexual, is afraid of being branded a lesbian.
Unfortunately, that's yes. And I've known extreme homophobic transsexuals too, and you know, in one case, I remember asking them, "At what point does their head explode?"
right.
Because at some point in their transition, they were gay, no matter how you sliced it.
Absolutely, yeah. And you know, and there's also, again, going back to passability, there is that very nasty idea that the more passable you are, the better person you are as a trans person. And that is very cruel. It's not unlike colorism in the African-American world, i.e. the lighter your skin, the better and more attractive you are. And that is terrible, you know?
Well, you know, and then a lot of us know the women that we were called the glam squad. That they were basically surgery queens, and they just had, you know, one feminizing surgery after another, which was, you know, basically extreme privilege.
Yeah, but it also backfires, because when people have too much work, you can sort of tell they're trans. And Melania Trump, although indisputably born female, looks like a tranny hooker to me, because she's had too much work done, you know?
Yeah, there was a doctor out in California doing these surgeries that basically made them all look like they were from outer space.
That yeah. They were what?
He had very strange ideas of what a feminine face looked like, and these women went along with him, and they wound up looking kind of like aliens.
Well, and I used to go to a hormone doctor, I won't mention his name, and he used to make his money from doing cheek implants in addition to hormone things. And mm-hmm. they were pushing like crazy to get these girls to get these cheek implants, and I said to the nurse, well, I'd never have that. It makes them look like Dutch dolls. And she said, well, you don't need it because you have real cheekbones, but for girls who don't, it softens the face. I said, You're kidding, right? They look like two tennis balls, one in each cheek. Come on.
Yes, I know.
Excuse
and
me.
When you get older, it gets worse.
Well, Hillary. Hillary has had cheek implants at the beginning of her public career when Bill was made, you know, governor of Arkansas. She has not had a facelift or anything. So the implants that started on either side of her nose, which is where they should be, are now on either side of her mouth. And she looks like a disgruntled chipmunk at this point. That is a problem, you know?
Well, anyway, I never had that type of surgery done. I didn't need to. I was lucky.
And I didn't because I have friends who are cisgender women who are actresses who had work done and they were unsatisfied with it and then had to live with it forevermore. And I have had no work done. I've had my teeth kept. That's it. For television. That's all she wrote, folks. But that's it. And I never say never. I might have some maintenance work done later on, but in my experience, you don't look as bad as you think you do. You know, all these women who see a line and they run screaming to the plastic surgeon, they wind up looking worse after the surgery than they did before.
I guess I was fortunate.
Well, and your hair, girl, your hair is magnificent. You put to shame shampoo commercials. Are you kidding? Your hair is glorious.
Oh, my hair used to be twice as thick as it is now. You know, it thins out as I got older. But it's all the natural color. I am a natural redhead, and I have never colored my hair. So, you know.
There you go. And also you have to find your style. Joanne, for example, is always the epitome of elegance. And I think that helps passability if you are that type. In other words, you have to find your type and be it. You cannot, you know, wear red vinyl miniskirts and leopard print see-through tops and expect to be Miss Passability, you know?
Oh, well, see, that was just it. I did not transition to be a teenager.
I transitioned when I was a teenager, and everyone thought I was 30 because I had a conservative look about me, you know?
Well, there you go. There you go. And, you know, as far as styling my hair, no, I just basically comb it out. I brush my hair out, and my hairstyle is Wild Woman.
Yeah, it's great for you. It's perfect. It's absolutely perfect. And, you know, I mean, we all have to find our type and find our look, and that's everyone, men and women. And,
exactly.
You know.
Yeah, but
so
yeah,
anyway, we are heading for the last roundup here, gals. So why don't you each give your contact information, Kathy, first?
Okay, you can reach me on Facebook at Catherine Platine, the cantankerous crone. Yes, Hercules, if you're listening, you can use that one. I came up with it, and I'm still pleased with it. Or you can reach me at Catherine, CATHRYN, at gallae.com. That's my email address. I'm not giving out my phone number. Well, right now it doesn't work.
So okay. And Joanne, what's your contact information?
I can be reached at Joanne, J-O-A-N-N, without an E, J-O-A-N-N. M as in Marie, P as in Prince of Valley, at outlook.com.
Okay, and I can be reached via Hercules, since I am computer illiterate, and at this point getting proud of it. You know, I mean, I won't be conscripted into the ranks of machine worshippers, but anyway. And also I'm lazy and I don't like stuff that taxes me too much. So anyway, I can do my makeup or I can go on the computer. I'll do my makeup. Screw it. So my colleagues have been in alphabetical order, Ms. Catherine Platine, trans activist and feminist, and Ms. Joanne Prince-Savalli, attorney, trans activist, and New York State politician. I am Diana Montfort, yes, the world's first transgender television journalist. No one else wanted to be, so what can I say? I've been on the air television-wise since 1990. Ooh, I am old. But hey, with lighting, you'd be amazed at what we can do. Anyway, we will see you the third Saturday of every month on the Hercules Network at Blog Talk Radio, 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. If you're trans, if you know trans people, if you're trans curious, if you are LGBTQ of any stripe, you might like to listen to our podcast because we say a lot of what needs to be said. And we progress month to month. Just as Joanne announced the new laws in Massachusetts and Maine, every month brings something new, so you might like to keep abreast of the new laws. Anyway, shall we all say good night to our wonderful friends out there? Good night, wonderful friends.
Good night,
good
everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you, Diana, Joanne, and Catherine, for a wonderful show. Thanks to a wonderful audience for tuning in, whether you clicked on the link and found yourself here, whether you called and you're in our queue, or whether you're going to listen to us later on demand. Until next time, this is us wishing you joyous journeys, amazing adventures, and a happy and healthy new year. Good night, everybody, and thanks again.